So I'm checking in with you. How'd it go last week? You had homework, remember, right? You did have homework. You were given homework. So now I'm checking in with you. 15 minutes of reading a day, 5 minutes of affirmations, right? That's what we agreed to. 20 minutes a day. How'd it go? Good, wonderful, wonderful. 20 minutes a day to improve your life. Does that work? 20 minutes a day to change your life. How awesome is that? So keep doing it. That'll be your homework this week also. And here we are in a new month, September. We are in a new month, creating a joyful life. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Oh my gosh, you know? What was it? I can't remember who it was now. It was Marianne Williamson or, no, maybe it was Terry Cole Whitaker that always used to say, you know, it seems like it takes a lot of effort to get to effortless, you know? Sometimes it feels that way. So here we are creating a joyful life. Sometimes it seems like it takes a lot of struggle to get to joyful. But here we are, and that's a powerful thing to accept that we are creating a joyful life for ourselves. And today's talk is work and play. Work and play. And Ernest Holmes said this on one of his Sunday talks on this thing called life. He had a talk called Enthusiasm, God's Medicine. I love that. And here's what he said. Enthusiasm reaches out with joy. There is nothing depressing about it. It reaches out in faith. There is no fear in it. It reaches out with acceptance. There is no doubt in it. It reaches out as a child. There is no uncertainty about it. Just joyful trust in life. Just a happy outlook on living. Just a complete assurance that we can have confidence in spirit. Let us awaken the joy within us again and enter into the game of living, not sitting on the sidelines, but out there in the field pitching. He must have been a baseball fan. This is our birthright. This is a quality of God. This is within us. So if we are going to create a joyful life, we have to bring joy into everything that we do. Work and play. Everything. And everything in between, actually, because we are at choice. Because we are at choice, we can approach everything that we do in love. We can approach everything that we do in joy, in celebration, or in disgust and resistance, begrudgingly. It's our choice all the time. Every minute of every day, we are at choice as to how we're going to think about what we're doing. Joy is our natural state of being. Joy is another one of those qualities of God that we keep talking about, right? Abundance and balance and beauty and joy. It's right there. Freedom and order and peace and power and love, unity and wisdom and wholeness. All of those qualities which are God's are qualities that are ours. They flow through us. That is our natural state of being. We have to do something to interrupt that flow. Because those qualities should flow effortlessly, there's that word again, effortlessly through us into our world, into the conditions around us. We have to let it out. We don't have to find it. We don't have to acquire it. We don't have to obtain it. We don't have to possess it. We don't have to buy it. It is given us to be joyful, joy-filled, and we need to let it out of us into the world around us. It's always in us. We need to let it out of us. And because we are beings of free will, because we are at choice, we get to decide. We get to decide to bring that joy that is within us out into our relationships, into our jobs, into our work, into our play, into our rest. We get to decide whether we're going to activate it in our lives or stifle it. In his book, A New Design for Living, Ernest Holmes said, to the degree we understand our unity with spirit and give to the law only ideas of good, we expand our thought and free ourselves from the negative consequences of our previous limited thinking. We have that choice. We are at choice every moment of every day to think about things in a positive way or a negative way. So we can bring this sense of joy to all of our aspects of living, not just play. I mean, we find joy there, I think, almost naturally, spontaneously, when we play. That's why they call it playing music, right? They don't say working music, right? Don't you play? I mean, it takes hours and hours and hours of practice. And that is work. But when you get behind that piano, you're playing music. You're not working music. That's what we do. It's spontaneous. It should come out of us in all aspects of our life, not just when we're at play. But joy can flow and weave itself. You know, our lives are a conglomeration of things, are they not? Work and play and rest and activity and quiet and stimulation and everything in between. Well, that joy can weave itself throughout our entire lives, throughout all of those activities. Joy is not just relegated to play, but it's a matter of commitment. It's a matter of choice. We have to be awake to realize we are choice, and then we have to choose. We have to commit to joy. I know it sounds silly. We have to commit to joy. We have to commit to decide how we're going to think about every single condition in which we find ourselves. We have to commit to joy with that song in our hearts that interprets any situation we're in the most positive light. And this is more than just wishing and hoping, you know? It's more than just that idle fantasy that we hope things will work out better. Committing to joy is actually doing the work. Are we committed or are we resigned? That's a question. Are we hoping or wishing, or are we boldly headed in the direction of our highest and best good? Commitment means wanting a change and willingness to do things different in order to manifest that change. Those are two components. It means exercising the self-care and the self-love to make the higher choice for ourselves. And the higher choice is always the quality of God. Abundance and beauty and balance and joy and freedom and wisdom. Those are our higher choices. Again, going back to the New Design for Living, Ernest Holmes said, life will always be life, but what it can mean to us depends on what we think it can mean to us. Once we dare to stick our heads out of the cave of morbid, depressed, and limited thinking, we will find a whole new world exists, the kind of world that we thought existed only in our fondest dreams. It is real, and it can become an actuality for us. We have to stick our heads out of the cave. We have to awaken. We have to realize we're at choice every moment of every day. You know, when Jesus said, several places in the Bible, that we have to give up everything to follow him, everybody took that to mean material goods. You know, I mean, that was the first thing that they thought of. Oh, my home, my gold, my family, my whatever. Well, you have to give up everything, you know. And the wealthy that were following him were like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll wait, what? wait a minute, I have to give up. No, excuse me, I got other things to do. And they would leave. But in actuality, Jesus' message was bigger than giving up your gold or your house or your families. The directive had more to do with thought. We have to give up our limited thinking. If we are to follow this master teacher, the directive meant giving up previous thinking, the thinking of your family, those limited thoughts that your culture, you know, embodies in us, those things that your country says, those things that your culture says, the things that your ethnicity or your family taught you. All of those limited thinking about who you are and what you're capable of. You have to get rid of that. We have to get rid of the old way of thinking. That's why it wasn't really about gold. It wasn't really about hating your mother or father. I know everybody's heard that Bible passage. It was about letting go of all of those limited beliefs that were given to us by them. We must go in favor of the new thought. And we have to change our self-talk along with it, right? Joy is a choice, and it's a possibility, and our self-talk has to support that. We have to ask ourselves the better questions. We always have to ask ourselves the higher questions. The question is not, why me, when there's a setback? The question is not, why is this happening? Michael Beckwith did a talk recently, and he said, the question we should always be asking each other is, how can it get better than this? How can it get better than this? When everything seems like it went to hell in life, and nothing is working out for you, and everything's going just, you know, awful, The question you ask is, how can I get better than this? And when everything is going right in your life and you're just at the top of the hill and the sun is shining and life is beautiful and you've gotten everything you want, what is the question? How can it get better than this? It's the same question. How can it get better than you ever thought possible? But it can. We have to keep asking ourselves the right questions. We have to question our joy. We have to question, what is our joy? What is our joy? And it's different for everybody. It's going to be different for you. It's going to be different for me. But what is it? What did you do with it? Where did it go? Do you have it with you still? Can you find it right now? Let's identify. Let's identify where your joy is right now. So close your eyes just for a moment. Just close your eyes and go within. Think about your joy. Think about that unspeakable joy that you feel. Think about the last time you felt that feeling. The last time you felt that unspeakable joy. That giggly, bubbly sense of loving being alive. Unrestrained joy. So where are you? Look around in your mind's eye. Where are you? Who are you with? You're just having the time of your life. It's joy, all joy. Who are you with? How old are you? What are you doing? What are you doing that is bringing that joy out of you into your surroundings? Feel that feeling. Be fully immersed in that activity. And just let that joy just resonate in the air all around you. Just bring it forward with you. Bring it forward and feel that feeling. And bring it with you as you open your eyes. You're back. So what brought you joy? Oh, come on. This is interactive part. Listening to Earl sing. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So that was just this morning. Okay. Where were you? Where were you? In the moment. Okay. Right here, right now. Where did you find your joy? Where was your joy? Anybody? Ah, love it. Okay, out in nature. What else? Woo! Where is your joy? In meditation. Okay, in meditation. What else? What else? Where was your joy, Monica? Enjoying the hummingbirds in the backyard. I saw a hand up over here. Judith, where is your joy? Dancing and watching dancing. I love it. Look at all these, Joni. The Sky Show last night. The Sky Show. Joy and fireworks. And the music of Prince. Oh, how lovely. Where's your joy? Where's your joy?
Having my kids. Well, I wasn't having them, but I sure watched.
Watch the miracle of childbirth. I love it. Where's your joy? Watching my children play sports. I love it. I love it. Where else? Come on. Let's share. Evelyn. Ah, joy in the ocean. Yeah, you and me both, but only if it's warm water. Where is your joy? Where is your joy?
My new rescue dog, Bella.
I love it. Just absolute, absolute. Gloria?
My daughter.
Oh, how beautiful. Do you see how every single one is different? Yes, Jim.
Spending time with my kids.
This is where our joy is. Yeah, hi, Muff. Going to the garden concerts? Music. Again, yeah, being outside and being in music. All of these wonderful, wonderful ways where we touch our joy. We have to keep touching that joy. We have to keep letting it out. It's in, it's about letting it out. And some people's joy will be painting, and some people's joy will be playing music. Some people's joy will be listening to music, right? What is your joy, and where is your joy, and where is it now? You know, the important part is letting it out and experiencing it on a daily basis and living in that sense of joy no matter what we're doing. So even at work, we can bring that feeling of joy with us. You know, what brings us joy? And we need to, we benefit by resonating in the sense of joy regardless of what we're doing. I think of Ron, are you here? Is Ron Young here? There you are. His bringing the drumming circle to vision. It was something within him that he wanted to bring out. It was something that gives him joy, and he wanted to share it. And so he brings it to vision, and he opens this circle wider and wider, and we get to play. We get to play with him in experiencing his joy in the drumming circle. We can do the same thing here with drawing. We can make a drawing class, not a class. What would we call it? A drawing club. Anybody want to belong to the drawing club? You know, and we can just get together and draw. We don't need to be experts. But if drawing is your joy, let's do it. Let's get together and draw. Or let's get together and paint. But we won't do it on the rug. We'll do it out in front on the hard surface. Whatever that is, we have to let it out. And we have to let it out in work, and we have to let it out in play. We have to do those things that bring our joy from inside out into the world. Drawing clubs, painting groups, quilting bees, singing groups. You get together and sing for no reason? Do you just get together and sing with friends, right? Singing groups. And when we are in joy, play is sweeter. And when we are in joy, work is lighter. And when we're in joy, quiet is deeper. And when we are in joy, activity is brighter. That sense of joy just transforms all aspects of our lives. We can't just hide it and hold it aside for playtime. We have to let it weave itself through all of life, through everything that we do. And it simply lifts us. And it lifts our life, and then it lifts those people around us who are thinking, why are you so damn happy? Don't you know what's really going on in the world? Blah, 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 right? We become immune to that. We become immune to that because we've allowed joy, which is a quality of God, which is our natural state, to flow and to weave itself throughout our whole life. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, "What a wonderful adventure life lies before us. How grateful we should be for the opportunity to live and love and work and play. We should have a keen sense of anticipation and enthusiasm because we know we are working with a spiritual power greater than we are, a law of mind that is available to create every good thing in life. I believe this is the secret to the power Jesus demonstrated and to the understanding of his teachings. We may call this faith. We may call it religion. We may call it worship. It is all this and more. But in reality, it resolves itself into a simple, sincere, and direct approach to spirit and to the law of mind." And that's what we're doing here. We are engaging, although in a group activity, we are engaging in that simple and direct approach to the divine within. And all of those qualities, including joy, are found within us. And we are simply here to engage and to learn the tools of letting it out of us. We're already that. So I'm going to go right back to the beginning of the talk in those 15 minutes. Are we willing to do those 15 minutes of reading? Are we willing to do those 5 minutes of affirmations? Are we willing to transform our lives to allow the joy out, to allow the love out, to allow the peace out? Because when we do that, when we break down the walls, it's not about letting anything in. It's about letting our true nature out into the world. And then we transform our lives. We transform the lives of people around us. We transform their lives and friends of theirs. And we transform the city, the state, the world by what we do.
by what we do. Talk about making a world that works for everyone. And it all starts here. It all starts within us. It all starts with opening up, doing what it takes to allow who we are out in the world to work and to play. Thank you so much.